In that last story, we heard from Bevan Dufty. He's the director of Housing, Opportunity, Partnership, and Engagement for the City of San Francisco. Before that, he was a longtime city supervisor, and he ran for mayor last year. In his new role brainstorming solutions to the city's stubborn homelessness problem, Dufty has come up with some pretty novel thoughts. We wanted to hear about some of the most innovative, so we invited him in for a segment we call Radical Ideas.
And now for something completely different.
First of all, think outside the box.
I got the idea when I noticed the refrigerator was cold.
Good idea.
The guy who invented Pringles packaging thought outside the box and made a fortune.
That's a pretty good idea.
He had this crazy idea about breeding pine trees.
Isn't that beautiful? That can happen to anyone.
Today's radical ideas are about ways to engage homeless people with the community at large. We're going to hear about two of them. One is adopting homeless pets. The other is about soul food trucks.
What would a hipster in San Francisco be without a food truck, right? So when I was a supervisor a couple years ago, I learned that our street food culture was really suffering in San Francisco because we were requiring that people had to pay $10,000 to get even just an initial permit. And you were paying the police department, which really didn't make sense to me because they couldn't give you a route. And so everybody was saying that it was just like a catch-22 system. So I went in and we cut the fees to less than $4,000. And I think you've seen in the past 2 to 3 years a real, you know, booming street food culture in San Francisco.
Yeah, you have off the grid. You have huge congregations.
Oh, yeah, off the grid, La Cocina. You've got a lot of great things. Now, 56% of individuals who have HIV in San Francisco that are homeless and marginally housed, 56% are food insecure. What does that mean? That means that they don't have adequate nutrition to take their meds. And here we are in San Francisco, and we've got the AIDS model of care that the world looks at, but people are food insecure. And so they can't adhere to these meds because these meds are tough to take if you're not eating and thriving. And so this motivated me to look at sort of bringing together the notion of street food with the tenderloin, and to also look at the fact that looking at the disproportionately African-American population among homeless and individuals living in supportive housing, why not do soul food trucks? It's something that I haven't seen a lot of. And so we're looking to create a social enterprise, and I've got different pieces, and I'm hoping to get it launched where we would take individuals who've come through the chefs program. Episcopal Community Services has chefs, Conquering Homelessness Through Employment and Food Services, where they take people out of homelessness and they you know, get them trained in the restaurant business. And I've been in Seattle to a restaurant called Fair Start, which has been operating for 20 years, and they've taken 6,000 people into job training and housing and all these different things. And it's a jumping restaurant, and they actually have a basement commercial kitchen where they cook for the Head Start centers and the homeless shelters and things of that sort. So I'm not that ambitious, but I really would like to bring that vibrancy of street food, maybe at a very low cost. You know, $3 a meal, something along those lines.
Could be a sliding scale, maybe.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to get some advice. I mean, I have a lot of friends in this, in both in the street food and in the restaurant industry, but I want to go bring that vibrancy. I look, you know, people go through the TL sometimes, and it's like street theater. I mean, it's pretty wild out there. And so if I could kind of relate to it, but bring food, bring some tables and chairs, and, you know, do something that sort of is something that that people like in other neighborhoods. I mean, that's what I think it's about.
So who would be the clientele? Would you be aiming for hipsters? Would you be aiming for homeless?
Oh, no. I think you would start out, we're aiming for people who live in the community. No, I'm talking about people that, you know, we have 5,000 units of supportive housing, and very few of them have kitchen facilities. You know, there's not a Whole Foods in the Tenderloin. I mean, you know, you got basically fast food and liquor stores, and you've got great organizations such as Glide and St. Anthony's and others that feed people. But, you know, I watch. You know, I just went last weekend when I was serving at St. Anthony's. I saw people with tickets, and, you know, St. Anthony's is somebody who's going to eat three lunches. They eat three lunches. And you see somebody, I was there on a Friday, and people were getting the bags together and putting the food in bags to, you know, have enough. I mean, it's a challenge. Under state law, you can't be on SSI, which is only $8.50 a month, and get food stamps. And I'm kind of pushing against that and saying, what's that about? You know, that so It's, you know, it's interesting. I guess that's why I'm excited about it, because it seems to me, as much as people are frustrated with the day-to-day of things, I feel like I have this bird's eye view on things that I want to change. And some of it is boutique-y. So you can say 2 food trucks, 8 people fostering 4 dogs. Yes, that's small, but it's inviting people to look at homelessness and leaving poverty and being more independent in a different manner.
Let's talk about that fostering of dogs. Ruff. What? Tell me about it. Tell me about the dogs initiative.
So WOOF is Wonderful Opportunities for Occupants and Fidos. We decided that for the pilot, we would consider people who had lived in CHP housing, who had been through the CHP job readiness program, and that they had a gold star from their building manager. So there were 40 people that had all of those qualifications. And of those 40, we invited them to come to an orientation. For a population that you think doesn't show up to things, 19 of the 40 came to orientation. That was just huge. And then we selected 8 of those individuals. And it was, you know, we learned a lot about it. You know, one of the participants, you know, came back and, you know, he had some issues with drugs. And, you know, it impacted him. He lost a number of teeth and stuff. And he talked about how he often felt like he had a scarlet letter on him. And he did such a great job. And he came back. And so now he wants to engage and, you know, get his teeth fixed so that he can just go out and be part of the community and part in the mix. And one of my inspirations for this was a guy named Matt Trawick who had emailed me. And I had learned that, you know, he had been homeless for a couple of years. He's a gay man like myself. And I read this letter and it said, you know, when I got into this housing, he doesn't live in CHP housing. He lives in another provider. But he moved in this, you know, SRO room. And he said, from the standpoint of the city, that was success, right? Like, he's housed. He'd been homeless for 1.5 years and he's housed. And all of a sudden, he looked at that success and he felt very isolated. And he was quite depressed, actually. And so he was able to adopt a dog. And it changed his life. And the dog is called TLC, I think Tenderloin Charlie. And so he wrote this amazing letter talking about when he walked down the street, people looked at him. People said hello. People knew his dog's name was Charlie. You've got to recognize the humanity of these people, no matter what, no matter what level of distress. I'm not saying you have to accept their behavior when it's bad. I'm not saying that you have to accept them living on the street. But you've got to connect to that humanity and... because otherwise we can't address it. And I'm in this gig because I think we can do better.